there's a lot that's in James 5:1. Mine, I'm not even going to read a verse. I said 5:1 because, like, that's the first verse. But mine at the top says, rich oppressors will be judged. I'm one of those rich. I hope I'm not an oppressor, but I'm going to be judged for what I got and what I do with it. You're going to be judged for what God has blessed you with and what you're doing with it. If he's called you, which he has, to do stuff with it, I'm going to question what you're doing with it. And you can tell I don't normally talk up front. I'll keep shuffling back and forth. 5:5. Chapter 5, verse 5. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You all drove to church. Yep, you got the pleasure and the luxury right there. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You know, we like make, I'm not a farmer, but we fatten up our cows to slaughter them. You're fattening up yourself. So you're sort of like, the cows live it, you're living yourself up for what? For the day of slaughter. Now, granted, there's a lot in and around that. I just want you to get where I'm coming from. What the God tells you through it is great. And here's where I'll share a little bit. I'm speaking to myself as much as I am to you at this moment. Young and old, doesn't matter. Let me see your bank statement. Let me see your credit card statement. And I'll tell you whether you're following Christ or not. You're commanded right here. Commandment is anything God, not the Ten Commandments, those are great. God commands you to do stuff all through this Bible, front to back. So let me see your bank account. Let me see your credit card statement. And we'll see how you're doing with that. God sees it. Please don't pull it out. I don't really want to see it. But if you want to show me, sure, but I'm not going to judge it. God's your judge on that. But if you open it up and it's me, Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, Thai, Starbucks. If there's never anything in there for God, God didn't have a bank. When Jesus walked the earth, I wrote this down too, but and I've often wondered, what would Jesus' credit card statement look like? What would his bank account look like? You say, well, he didn't have one. Well, sure, he didn't. I get that. But if he did? If you're saved, I was going to read James 2, but I'm not going to. I'm going to skip that to move on. But I'll ask you this. If you're saved and you claim you're saved, I wrote, put your money where your mouth is. And there's a reason I'm saying this, because I skipped James 2:14 through 26. If you saw somebody hurting or naked, you know where I'm going, or needed food, and you walk by and say, let me pray with you, and you keep walking, Jesus more or less says, knock it off, you're being stupid. If you guys are thirsty, don't pray for water. Go get me one out of that cooler there and hand it to me. Like, your faith has to be practical. So, sponsoring kids, like Ann said with compassion, it's practical. When we send money every year for the family, it's not Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks. It's not new tires on the car. It's not, let me get more clothes. It's, wow, I finally got a pair of pants. Or I got, one time it was some well bucket and wire and a pipe that he needed for the house so they could have drinking water. Like, the dad's not going and blowing money. He appreciates his $100 he earns. So when we send $200, can you imagine? I don't know what you make a month. Say you make $5,000 a year here, and all of a sudden you get a $10,000 gift. 2 years of wages. Like, we send $200, that's 2 months. We send $1,000, that's almost a year's wages. Does $1,000 hurt your bank? I would venture to say no. You might be inconvenienced, but I said bothered. Is that going to stretch you to lose $1,000? I would venture to say no. Maybe it would, and I could be wrong, but I've been in America my whole life. I'd venture to say it probably doesn't stretch you very much. And I know there's little kids in the room, or younger ones, under 15. I don't have any money. Exactly right. Let me know how much time you spend on your phone a day, and then let me know how much time you spend with the God, with your God that day. How much time did you spend? I know I'm picking on Maddie, but that's all right. Did you write to your compassion kid this week? Or did you play TikTok all week? Yeah, okay, I got the smile I needed. You have time. What are you doing with it? I'm here preaching today. Not what I'm used to, but when God, I made a deal with God. Take that for what I mean. I told him he can do with me whatever he wishes. I don't care anymore because it's not my time and it's not my money. So when I'm asked to come here, as much as trust me, I never earned any money speaking. You can tell I'm not like super comfortable up here. I'm not some great speaker, but if God wants me here, I'll share. I'll share. Hopefully you get something out of it. So, I printed out the pictures, and I want to talk about them. I'm going to set my Bible down to do that. So, we already covered the first two pictures, and you're going to be like, I thought you were missionaries to Nicaragua. Okay, that's the next six pictures. Keeley was like the first introduction to, hey, we'll just sponsor a kid, which my wife shared. Picture three. There are a bunch of people in that picture. I'm the big guy in the very middle of the picture. Maddie was with me on that trip also. Went to Nicaragua for a month, a year and a half ago, to run a soccer Bible camp. We were there for a month. The last week we were there, my wife and my other two daughters and my sister-in-law and a bunch of other people joined us for the last week we were there, which is the normal week we go. In that picture, I don't want to say it. If you're looking at it, the lady right below the number three is the grandma. The kid holding the soccer ball is a boy we sponsor, Danny. His sister's in that picture also, along with, there's essentially two families there. The kid in the white shirt, not the big guy, the kid in the white shirt, is the sponsored kid of our daughter, who's not here. They're compassion kids also. We brought them to the base to play soccer that day. I could share lots of amazing things that happened when we were there, but for this family, you're going to say they look dressed nice. Of course they do. I bought them all soccer jerseys, and they're all wearing them. Otherwise, they wouldn't look so nice. They're all brand new shirts in picture three, and the picture four is us playing soccer that day. The dad of the one kid is in the striped shirt with the number 10 on it, the third from the left. He's a farmer in 110-degree heat every day of the year. We paid for him to come there that day with his wife. His wife is, I have my arm around his wife. I wish they were colored pictures. It would be so much easier. Because I can't say red shirt. Anyway, we paid for them to come there that day. And you're going to say, well, what'd you pay? Probably like $20 for them. He could stop farming for one day of the year to come spend time with his family and have fun. That guy did not stop smiling and laughing from the minute he got there to the minute he left. And you're going to go, why are you sharing this? That was the best day of his life outside of work because I didn't have to bring anybody there. Normal trips with compassion are my wife and I meeting the kid. But because we've done it, like, so I'm meeting the kid I sponsor and his dad's working 3 hours away in a field all day. Just couldn't do it. So the whole family's there. Amazing experience. Not just for the family, but I got to teach them a Bible lesson that day. And they were so extremely thankful for the $38 he kept saying that I sent. I'm like, I have nothing to do with this, other than it's my daughter, and I think I raised her right. She's doing the right thing. But it's 100% her money. Like, I don't send them. I haven't sent them a penny. It's all my daughter doing it. Fantastic. Picture 5 and 6. Picture 5 is the soccer camp we ran. Kids from villages come to a soccer field that we had every day. Soccer and Bible. The kids are completely out of shape. They can run for 3 minutes and they're done. And you're going to say, why? Because they don't eat. Because they don't have money to eat. We provide them a meal. Everybody participated in the meal every day we were there because they're hungry. But energy level wise, they could run for 5 minutes and be done because they're malnourished. Picture 6. Edgar is the guy standing behind the table. He's my friend. He's also the pastor of the church. That's where you're going to get the missionary Nicaragua from. Everything you see in picture 6, 7, and 8 has been built in the last 14 months. When I came back from Nicaragua on the soccer trip with my youngest daughter and the rest of my family on the way home, my wife will vouch for this, I was in a horrible mood. I hated it. To be honest with you, I said, this trip sucked. I never want to go again. And you're going to say, wow, I'm black and white. If I'm not honest with you, God knows how I feel about it. So I'm being honest with you how I felt about it. I'm like, I raised, I don't even know, 10 grand from companies and people and churches to be able to take soccer balls for the kids and food and for a month, to be able to take off work for a month. I did all that and I left with not a good feeling. Not that it has to be a good feeling, but it was like I didn't do anything and I wasn't sure why I went. 2 months later, and I had met Edgar 2 or 3 years prior. He was my translator. He knows English as well as he knows Spanish. He's lived in America where you guys use slang all the time and don't know it. Like, you know what? James is pretty cool. Everybody here knows exactly what I mean. Now translate that. If we translated that, somebody would be taking him a coat. James is really cold. I better get him a coat. No, that's not what I said at all. With Edgar, he is so good at translating because he's lived here, he automatically thinks that way, which is fantastic. So where we talk with Keely and we're using Translate, when I get to talk to Edgar, I can just talk to him like I'm talking to you and not worry about the words I'm using, not worry about the slang I use. You know, like I can't even come up with anything at the moment. It doesn't matter. Got back. 2 months later, Edgar contacts me. I got to jump back. When we were down there, driving around in a pickup truck, Edgar, as we're driving all over the place through sugar plantations, like, if you guys know where Effort is, just picture this is one village. Effort is a village. Redding is a village. And everything in between, sugar fields. Like, not much in between, just fields. We're driving. He goes, see that place over there? I'm like, that place? I'm like, yeah, sure. He's like, I have that land. We're going to put a church on that. I'm like, cool, good for you. Like, you're going to put a silo over there? Okay, whatever. That's great. I didn't think anything of it. On to the next thing, you know, like, dude, are we stopping for a drink? It's really hot. We got soccer coming up. You ready for that? You ready to translate again? It's as much as I knew. I didn't even talk to it. Like, it didn't matter to me. Didn't care. Wasn't like we had a conversation about it. 2 months later, after I get back, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to Nicaragua again or not. I don't know what the point is. He calls, because we had been talking daily, and he's like, starting that church, you're going to be part of it. Absolutely I am. Yes, of course. Why would I not be a part of that? A little sarcasm there, but here we are today. Thousands and thousands and thousands of raised dollars later, he has a church. He has a feeding program. Picture 7 is the music academy where you guys won't walk to church. Kids walk 2-3 hours to get to this church to learn to play either piano or guitar, to be worship leaders in their church, in their village, which their village is like 10 houses together. and they'll have a church. Their church is a seventh of your tent. No sound. No this, like plastic chairs. You know, no nice metal ones. They rust right away, so everything is those plastic chairs. That's what they're doing. Well, how do they pay for that? Well, that's where you come in. Like, Edgar will call me. We talked last night when I was trying to put this all on paper. So did Keely. I had to end those conversations so I could actually write something down and organize my thoughts. Edgar will call and go, what's your name? Rich, you got $30? Kids need fed this Wednesday. And Rich is going to go, yeah, I got $30, sure. Doesn't hurt me too much. Except I'm the one usually shelling out the $30, and it's $30 here and $30 there, and then Keely calls, you know, I need some school books. My dad can take out a loan from the bank. Do you have $40? Loan from the bank for $40? Yeah, here's $40. So you guys are smart enough to do the math. Like, hey, the guitar strings on the guitars that are a year old that get played every Wednesday, we need some new strings. Do you have $7? Yep. The feeding program, which is picture 8, which is really hard to see, but you see all those kids lined up? There's usually about, because you never know, like how many people are going to be here on a Sunday? James will go, I don't know, maybe about this many. So that's how many kids were there that Wednesday, in line anyway, waiting for their food. How much is that? Well, that's right now it's $30. So what if twice as many kids show up? That's $60. So all these things happen. They're worship leaders. They're running the church. They're feeding kids every week. To whom much is given, much is required. My favorite verse. How much is that? I don't know. You got to figure that out for yourself. All I know is you're going to be held accountable someday for what you did with what you've been given. Now, I preach this to myself all the time. How many times have I gone through this sermon in my head? Sermon sounds like a funny word to me, too. I'm just talking to you guys. Oh, I don't know, 100? Since I found out about it, I don't know. I'm at work, working. Like, oh, well, I should talk about this. I should talk about that. Yeah, I keep repeating it. To whom much is given, much is required. James says, you can say, yeah, I'll pray about that. No, just go buy some waters and send down. Well, who's paying for the kids to eat this week? Well, why not you? Well, why not? I had a kid in my church and youth group. They were talking about serving over the summer. Like, what can I do this summer to expand my faith and keep Jesus alive, blah, blah, blah. Which is good stuff. I'm not making fun of it. And I said, they're like, well, there's no poor people around here. There's no homeless, that kind of stuff. I'm like, give me $30 and I'll feed some kids and you'll get a picture of it. Like, and one kid in youth group afterwards walked up and handed me $30. He's 15 years old. He had $30. He's like, I'd rather feed the kids. Awesome. Guess who's feeding the kids this week? Hunter's feeding the kids this week. What I like about Edgar, and I like you about this particular outreach, is when Ange and I first got started with the church, and Edgar called and asked about the church, there's like 90% unemployment down there. He had two guys working on the bathrooms of the church. You have to have bathrooms before you can just set up a tent in the middle of a field and say you're having church, where only some guys will show up. Okay, so we're working on the bathrooms, and he sent me a picture of me. He's like, dude, we got the bathroom started. Blah. I'm like, okay. I'm like, who are the guys? He's like, oh, they're two unemployed guys. They have nothing better to do, so they're helping with the bathrooms. I'm like, how long have they been helping? Oh, 2 days. I'm like, okay, I don't know if you're familiar with Venmo. I'm not super other than the name of it. You press a button, and the money shows up there. So we Venmoed $40. To pay for the two guys for their 2 days worth of work. So that's $10 a day, guys. Have fun working in the heat. And the next day, we get a photo on our phone from Edgar. Here's the two guys each holding a $20 American bill. He goes, paid them. Oh. So where we work with compassion and we work here, compassion, you're like, well, how much do they need to feed the kids? $4.2 million next week. Oh, well, let me help. Where's my picture? I sent $17. Did it go to feed the kids? Yes, I believe with compassion and are working with them that they're honest. Am I like you? Yep. Where'd my money go? I don't know. Like, I sent it. Edgar? We bought a pig. We got a picture of a pig. We bought a sheep. We got a picture of a sheep. Somebody wanted a goat for helping out. We bought a goat and got a picture of a goat. Reagan, did you buy a sheep? And she named it, yeah, Sheepy. So now we got videos of somebody rattling off in Spanish with Sheepy in the conversation. And how much was the sheep? $40? $50? I don't know. Like, why that? Well, the guy who got the pig, during construction that lasted a year, nothing got stolen from the church property. Not a thing. He got nothing in return. He didn't ask for anything. I actually said, now I'm drawing a blank, what's his name, Ange? Noel, there you go. Noel. I said, asked Edgar, I said, what would Noel like? He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, nothing got stolen for a year. We should send him a thank you gift. Well, and he's like, we'll send whatever you want. I'm like, what do you send for a thank you gift? Nothing got stolen from a church for a year in Nicaragua. I don't know. Like, a slushy and a bag of cheese. Like, I have no idea. He's like, $20 would be good. I'm like, $20 for a year's worth of nothing getting stolen? And the guy's unemployed. I said, how about $50? Does he want a pig? Because he likes animals. He likes the church's goats that he was tending. He's like, oh, yeah, he'd like that. So now we get videos of a pig on the church property running around, which is great. What I will tell you is this. For years, thinking about missions, I'm finally at a place where I think I get it somewhat. And I said this to the kids, and I'll just use the same example. If you're sitting there, and you're like, you know what? I have a passion for the game Hungry Hungry Hippos, and I just can't get enough of hitting that button and the hippos eat the marbles. I just love it. And I find myself playing that all the time. You know what? I bet there's a kid in Nicaragua that would just love Hungry Hungry Hippos. And that game is $24.99 at Walmart. I'm going to go out on a limb. Not really, because I know the limb I'm standing on, but I'll say I'm going out on one. You give me $24.99 and say, here's my address. Here's $24.99. I want Hungry Hungry Hippos for a kid in Nicaragua. By the end of the week, I'll have you a picture of that. I don't have it now. My wife will vouch that I don't have that now. But that's the way Edgar works. He trusts the money that's coming in. He's thankful for the money that's coming in. And if you send it for something, now the church has needs. Don't get me wrong. Like, you're like, well, there's kids that need fed. Absolutely. I think that would be a wise use of money, feeding kids. I said you're passionate about Hungry Hungry Hippos, not that you have to do that. But that's what I like. I can be real. My wife's sister-in-law, my wife's sister, wanted to buy a kid a bike for whatever reason. I don't remember the reason. It doesn't matter. She's like, do you think Edgar would buy a bike for a kid? I texted Edgar. I'm like, well, actually, there's a kid that comes to the music academy every week that's walking 5 miles. He could use a bike. If you want to buy one, he would be super grateful because, like, his family's never going to buy him a bike. $75, the kid's riding to music academy now. It's stuff like that. I could go on all day with that. But I hope you heard James. I hope you heard my wife this morning. I hope you heard our heart for missions. It's not complicated. It's not hard. You're called to do it. If you want to be a Christ follower, which means you follow Christ's example, it means you're supposed to be following James and what James said and what Pastor James says. Yeah, yeah, don't shake your head. No, listen to what he says. I'm sure it's all good. Like, put your faith in line with your wallet, in line with your mouth, and in line with your time. And good, like the story my wife shared where you need Kleenexes. None of mine are Kleenex worthy. Those are great, but it only happens because of James. It only happens by stepping out and putting your faith and your time and your money in line with what God wants you to do with it. God, like she said, God didn't bless you to bless yourself. He gave you money, He gave you time, and He gave you ability. He put you here to bless others.
so many words that came from these people's mouths came out of mine like 5 or 6 weeks ago. We are blessed to serve, yes? We are gifted to serve. We are saved to serve. We are equipped to serve. And if that's a hungry, hungry hippos game, send it. I asked a couple weeks ago, what are you excited about? What are you passionate about? I love God, and He loves me, and He loves you so much that most of us probably have 2 cars. Most of us probably right now have $20 or $30. Thanks for the extra $10. $30 a day to feed people. That's nothing. You know, I'm sitting here, you know, this little call to worship, and I'm going to read the whole thing and throw your watches out. And I started with 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 13. And I'm going to read them again. And then I'm going to continue because, you know, I stopped. But the rest is poignant. While still in the presence of the whole assembly, David expressed his praise to the Lord. O Lord, God of our fathers, Israel, praise your name forever and ever. Yours is the mighty power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and the earth is yours. Is. Remember we talked last week as a positive state of being. It's his. It's not yours. And he's given it to us. Everything is yours, oh Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as being in control of everything. Riches and honor come from you alone, and you're the ruler of all mankind. Your hand controls power and might, and it is at your direction that men are made great and given strength. Oh, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. That's where I stopped. We praise your name because you are great. But who am I? That's what it says right here. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be permitted to give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you. And we only give you what's yours already. For you are here. For we are here, but for a moment. Strangers in the land as our fathers were before us. Our days on earth are like a shadow, gone so soon, without a trace. O Lord our God, all the material that we have gathered to build a temple for your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test men to see if they're good. For you enjoy good men. I've done all this with good motives, and I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. It's an honor to serve. And whatever you have isn't yours to begin with. It's yours to give away. And the more you give away, the more you're going to be blessed. Maybe not monetarily or whatever. But you can't outgive God. I know. Give $1. Give 25 cents. Because Edgar's going to send a video. And you can get your name on a wall. Because you'll become a rock star. Father, I thank you for the testimonies that we've heard this morning. And again, I ask that you pierce the darkness, that you break our hearts for what breaks your heart. God, I pray that you send your spirit to prick our heart to give generously. And if we can give nothing more, prick our heart to pray for Nicaragua, for Edgar, for Tony, for Angie, that they would be your hands, feet, and voice for such a time as this. God, I thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes from the Father above. So I give you the praise in advance for what you're going to do through this time under the tent. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to close with this. Glory be to the God who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than anything we would ever dare ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. May he be given glory forever and ever through endless ages because of his master plan of salvation for the church through Jesus Christ. He wants to use us. Let him use us mightily. Be blessed, God. Will you join me in praying for Tony and Angela? Father, I thank you for the ministry, for these missionaries, that they would be willing to go into the world, that they're open and obedient to allow you to work through them. So, God, I pray that you would bless their socks off immeasurably, more than we can even begin to imagine. We thank you for the work that's being done through Edgar and Nicaragua, and I pray that you would continue to go before him, watch over, protect him, guide him in his thoughts and what would be the next steps. We thank you for this field that has a church on it now, and what you can do in 14 more months is more than we can imagine. So we will continue to pray. As these things in the matchless power of Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed as you serve your King until we meet again next week.